a series to be handed down as special grand jury investigation. Grave robbing in Texas is this hour's top news story. An informant led officers of the Muerto County Sheriff's Department to a cemetery just outside the small rural Texas community.
Good Tuesday morning. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy, and on this week's episode, we take a look at the anniversary review for Texas Chainsaw Massacre from director Toby Hopper from 1974. For DVD Tuesday for October the 8th, we have a few here. So we have Harold and the Purple Crayon, starring Zachary Levi, arrives out onto a digital and physical release. Yorgos Lanthimos' Kind of Kindness, starring Jesse Plemons and Emma Stone, one of my favorite films of the year, finally revs out onto a physical and digital release, as well too, streaming onto Disney+. You have Michael Fassbender inside of a musical comedy drama that is based onto true events about a rap group from Ireland called Kneecap. That one arrives out onto DVD. Ty West's final anthology series, Maxine, starring Mia Goth. That one arrives out onto a physical and digital release. Lupita Nyong'o stars inside of a prequel called A Quiet Place Day One. That one arrives out onto a physical and digital release. The animated film that was nominated at the previous Oscars for Best Animation, Robot Dreams, arrives out onto a physical release. And finally, June Squibb stars inside of Thelma. That one arrives out onto a physical and digital release. Let's get to some music to get your morning started here. We're going to hear Luna Lee with Fantasy off of the album When a Thought Grows Wings. We're going to hear Mustafa with Old Life off of the album Danya. And then finally, Jamie XX with All You Children from the new album In Waves. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard, CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
All you children gather round, we will dance and we will whirl. All you children gather round, we will dance together. Together. children gather round. We will dance together.
You're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We get to some new scores from cinema and of course some new soundtracks as well too. So first of all, from Joker Folie à Deux, we are going to hear It's Showtime from composer Hildur Guðnadóttir. And then we're going to hear from Lady Gaga and her album Harlequin, which is sort of the Joker Folie à Deux soundtrack. We are going to play the track Get Happy. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy.
Sinners and just forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get through into the promised land. Your delusions are getting low. You had a drink, now you're feeling happy. Now I'm heading on your afterglow. You had your head on the roof, get happy. It rung your bell, you forgot your blues. Cause I'll be smiling, yeah, babe, I'm happy. Your inhibition's coming loose. A fever or a flu can't compete with a silly bee.
Get Happy, Lady Gaga there with Get Happy from her new album Harlequin, which is kind of like the soundtrack to the Joker film. We are now going to hear from Megapolis composer Usvlado Golijov with the track The Map of Utopia, and then from Umberto Cimarelli and Adam Parson, we're going to hear I Want to Get Next to You from the movie A Different Man, starring Adam Parson and Sebastian Stan. You're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy. It is time for your Cinematic Fridays for this Friday, October the 11th. Jason Reitman is getting a lot of praise for his new film, Saturday Night, which comes out this Friday, October the 11th. Let's take a listen.
Hey, free comedy show, plenty of seats. Plenty of tickets left, guys. Free show. Sake.
So, big night.
Look, my name is Lorne Michaels. I'm the producer of Saturday Night.
The whole night?
Yeah, the whole night.
Chevy Chase, Gilda Radner, Dan Ayika. Pronounce this?
Aykroyd.
You know, I was thinking, why don't we punt? We should run the dress rehearsal and claw back a win next Saturday.
We can't, Dick. It's a live show.
We're just not ready.
Doesn't matter that we're ready. It matters that it's 11:30. That's when we go on.
Lauren, all I'm trying to do is give you advice. It's in everyone's best interest, mainly yours.
Sorry, was that a threat?
Look around, Lauren. You haven't locked the script. Your crew is in open rebellion.
That was a bit of Jason Reitman's Saturday Night, which comes out this Friday, October the 11th. As well, too, the new Lego movie, Piece by Piece, comes out. This one is Pharrell's biography done inside of a Lego movie. Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh star inside the romantic drama We Live in a Time. This one arrives out inside of limited release. Bring tissues. It might be a weeper. As well, too, if you're not sick of him already, well, The Apprentice comes out, which is the true story about 1980s Donald Trump who meets Roy Cohen. Sebastian Stan stars as Donald J. Trump, and Jeremy Strong plays Roy Cohen. On to this week's episode, Danny and I are reviewing The Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974, celebrating an anniversary, directed by Tony Hooper.
Toby Hooper, yeah.
Yeah, listener discretion is advised for the following content because we might get into some stuff that might rub the audience members the wrong way. However, I feel that it's an important feature film to look at for the horror genre of cinema. So that is why I selected it while describing it to you for an October anniversary review, because I feel that it's an important film for the genre of horror, especially it being October. So the film follows a group of five friends who face a nightmare of torment at the hands of a depraved Texas Klan. So right away we can say that it kind of sounds modern day America inside of a certain sense where the Klan's never gone away. However, the Klan is more like it's more of like a violent nature, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre can be described as an American independent horror film. The film is marketed onto being based onto true events. However, it is not. It was there to attract a wider audience through the violence, and it acts as a subtle commentary to the era's political climate, basically Watergate and the Vietnam War being two themes. And also, the film is loosely based onto the notorious serial killer Ed Gein, who was also a threat at this point too. Violence was the reason why the film was faced with distribution problems, and also the violence of the nature of the film too was complained about due to the tone of the film, and as well too, it led to it being banned inside of several theaters as well too. As for the filmmaking aspect of the film, it was filmed onto an Eclair 16 millimeter camera. So what do you think about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre as a whole, Danny? And what does the violence of the film say about violence inside of America, inside of general as well too?
Well, I got one word to describe the film in its entirety: macabre.
Definitely it's going for that, tone as a film. The
But in terms.
that's Sir Gruesome, the at the very beginning of the film too, you see like this photographs being taken place of like the grave robbers that are digging up graves and what they find. Definitely macabre is a theme that comes to mind too.
But in terms of violence in America, I mean, what are the things this film, particular film, has in common with, let's say, the Halloween films is the fact that there's a psycho killer with a mask who just randomly kills people. But one thing I find interesting is that, not to get too much into spoilers, is that it's a family that's psychotic, and I feel. What I might say might offend some people, but I feel that one of the things that about this film that a lot of people might have found offensive is that if you think about it, the film in itself touches upon how mental illness is hereditary.
Okay, or how the not mental illness, but basically like the violence acts of nature inside of a family, how the gene can be like found inside of various family members.
Correct.
And I think that that's what you get when you get to basically that it's not really fleshed out a lot about the family, right? Because you're basically with Leatherface. You see one of the younger sons, you see the father, but you don't really know what's going on with the granddad, right, as much, or the other members of the family. That really isn't discussed a lot.
No, with the grandfather, I was puzzled because I was convinced that the grandfather was supposed to be a corpse. He was supposed to be a corpse, and yet he was moving. So that had me asking questions. in regards to what's going on with that.
Yeah, one of the aspects or the highlights of the film that the film's noted for is the makeup and hairstyling and stuff was really well done for the film as well too. Several of the themes that the film touches upon that the director Toby Hooper wanted to get around to talking about was both violence against women, right?
Yeah.
And vegetarianism as well too. How does both of those two things come into play, do you think?
With the vegetarianism, it did touch upon how the animals are killed in order to be eaten after, and just the fact that they're slaughtered before they're slaughtered in order to be killed for us to eat. I mean that is in itself cruelty.
A
Cruelty to
cruelty animals, yeah, and especially we see like the cruelty to animals, but also the cruelty, the same retrospective of the cruelty retrospective to humans as well too. Maybe we can get into the central character of the film, Leatherface, onto how iconic that character is. One of my favorite moments from the film, even though I don't really want to say that I love the film per se, but one of the great ones for me is him with the chainsaw inside the middle of the road at the very end of the film. I found that that's really well shot, where he's like the dance.
I thought it was as well.
I think that it's because of the lighting too, of when it was shot. That's what makes the it's iconic for a horror movie, I would say. So maybe when we come back, we'll discuss more about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre all these years later and where it holds up. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies, What Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Hi, this is Remy from At the Movies, and before we continue with our anniversary review for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I want to issue a discretionary advice. If you are not good with violence or talks about violence, then this review is not for you, since the movie deals with violence inside general. We will have other episodes and more anniversary reviews inside the near future that might be suitable to your listening discretion. Listener's discretion is advised. And welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Danny and I are discussing the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974, directed by Toby Hooper. So we can say that Toby Hopper, the director at the time, wanted to make a horror film, but he also wanted to have a subtle commentary on the era's political climate with the Watergate and Vietnam War going on. But also, he based the murders around the notorious serial killer Ed Gein. However, even though the film is not based on true events, we can see how there are elements of the film, such as a group of inside of Texas, that they're like a, well, Texas Klan, right? That's what they're described as, a depraved group of a Texas Klan. And we can say that today, inside the Deep South, there's still like the those types of people out there that believe inside of the white supremacy and stuff like that, which I feel that I feel that he doesn't go, Toby Hopper doesn't really delve into, the white supremacy aspect of inside of the film. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I
There
have to agree
really
with that. I mean, going
isn't.
back,
I think that he could have touched upon, race. That would have been another thematic of the film that the film could have talked about, race, because violence linked with race, I would say, would have been another theme that he could have touched upon.
going back to what you were saying about violence toward, I mean, about violence towards women. I mean, I personally don't feel that was touched upon that much as well. I mean, because there was I mean, in terms of violence, there was violence towards everybody, regardless of who you were or what gender you are. But one could argue that Toby Hooper could have also touched more upon the sexism factor in the southern states as well.
There you have some sexism, and also he could have touched upon race in America as well too. Another interesting aspect that could have come into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, even though there was more of the film franchise inside the future that maybe it would have been discussed. So we look at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre today and the violence, and I feel that there's like this type of fascination with violence in America, right? And I feel that this is the film probably that kicked it off too, that there's a problem with violence in America as well too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it seems like oftentimes in the United States there are people who are, yes, obsessed with violence. Or, well, here's a good example with Donald Trump. When he goes up on stage and has his rallies, there's no denying he's, for one thing, very divisive, and in many respects, encourages violence.
No, exactly. And that's why I think that the film, speaks about not only to the problems back then, but the problems today too that America is facing as well too. So the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is described as the best and most influential horror film with elements of the slasher genre. We both talked about how we appreciated that one scene where Leatherface is chasing down his final victim and he's doing a type of dance with the chainsaw. And what I think that it is just the way that Cooper gets the lighting inside of that scene really makes it such an iconic scene. The Texas Chainsaw would spawn multiple franchises as well too. The elements are very crucial to the genre of filmmaking that we will later see too, known as the slasher genre as well too.
Well, the one I was very fond of the acting in the film with the actress who played Sally Hardesty. I mean, her acting was really put to the test compared to the other actress, because her character was tortured the most. And I
She
was,
was quote unquote final girl, right? Yeah.
And I was also very fond of the actor who played Franklin. I felt he did a really good job playing the character, because we had Franklin, who was physically handicapped, who was very intelligent and very intuitive, but there were times where you empathized with him, because while being intelligent and intuitive, he was oftentimes not taken seriously.
That's true. So yeah, I guess that we can say about Texas Chainsaw Massacre all of these years later is that it holds up as a staple to the horror film genre, and it is prevalent to today's society where it discusses about violence in America, I would say. Or
No,
maybe the fascination of violence in America.
I would agree that it touches upon the fascination of violence in America, but I'm still sticking to my guns that it touches upon mental illness that runs in families.
That is one of them, but I think that it's more about how not the mental illness, but how it's like the gene of violence, inside of the family, how it runs deep. But I think that with the family, he wanted more to make it an allegory for the clan inside of general and how inside of this one it's violence, right? But even
Yes.
though the Klan has sort of this type of a racial violence in America.
Precisely. So for this film, I can't.
A very heavy watch. A very
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. There were times where I found it very difficult to watch, but nevertheless, I do find it was a good job done overall. I can't say that I love this film, but no, I do have an appreciation for the acting and everything else that went into it. So it is going to be receiving a thumbs up on my end.
It is receiving a mild thumbs up on my end as well too, with discretion being advised as well too. If on to next week's show, I shall add that we are having our funding drive episode where Nina from Dreamscapes comes on at the movies and we discuss The Sopranos and more precisely the final season of season two, the final episode there. Funhouse with one of Tony's fever dreams. It's definitely a great episode that I love doing with Nina from Dreamscapes. And if you are looking to lend some money towards a particular cause, why not donate to the CJLO funding drive, cjlo.com/donate. You can donate to CJLO. You can also donate to CJLO and your favorite show at the movies. Danny and I would be very gracious if you were to donate to the CJLO funding drive and have your donation going towards not only CJLO, but at the movies as well too. And we are very, how do you say, we do feel that if you do donate to CJLO's funding drive and you highlight at the movies, then we will reward you possibly with one of our things that we did this year was one of our donors suggested that we do a Jerry Lewis retrospective. So maybe we'll get into contact with you and we will ask you what summer retrospective do you want to see us do next? Maybe it's a director, maybe it's an actor, maybe it could even be a genre of film or a series of films that you want us to go through. Definitely keep it open and start your donations. CJLO.com/donate today for the CJLO funding drive. Thank you for joining me for this anniversary review, Danny.
Oh, thank you for having me, Remy. It's always a pleasure.
Don't feel the rebirth.
Thank you.